What visions of joy and grandeur come to your mind when you think about the day that evil and its residues are destroyed, never to appear again? Hello and welcome to Good Word. I am Dave Thomas, your host. This is the 13th lesson, bringing to a conclusion our discussion of the great controversy. We've been talking about it for 13 weeks. I'm happy to have had the same partners all through this, Paul Dibdahl and Brant Berglund. The lesson is entitled The Triumph of God's Love, but let me ask you that question again. What visions of joy and grandeur come to mind when you think about the day that evil and its residues are destroyed? And Paul, here I remember one of the most moving sermons I ever heard came from you when you preached about heaven when your sister was dying. Mm-hmm. And you talked about the things that would not be there.
Yeah. It is interesting to me that, I mean, it does say some things that will be there. But a lot of the description is again about what won't be there. I've found it valuable. I've done it a few times where I've invested a good amount of time just listing things on a page, the things that will not be there.
So share some of this.
There's so many things that are just such a regular part of our lives, occupations that are connected with resolving somehow, trying to resolve the brokenness of sin. I mean, just you can start naming diseases and just keep naming diseases. And with everyone, why do you know that disease? Why does that disease come to mind? Because probably you know someone who has been had their life just impacted
devastated by it.
So you just go, anyway, if you just on down the list. And I haven't given any specifics. I don't want to start. But I'm still speaking in generalities. Yeah. I'll tell you what I thought of, Dave, what visions of joy and grandeur. It kind of hits me because last – and I can share this. I won't give more details than needed, but last evening I was by a bedside in ICU. I got word today that last evening, just a couple hours after I was there, that person passed away.
Oh, wow.
And I think of that person and the family, the tubes gasping for breath. And when I think of paradise, when I think of the final triumph, it's like, boy, that the renewal of what is broken. And I do tend to think a lot about the physical aspect of it, and maybe that's partly connected to my advancing age and then losing people that are significant to me, friends and so forth. But the joy of reunion, the joy of restoration, to become who we were created to be, and then to know that we will be able to fully become who we were created to be in fellowship with those that we love, that's how much better can it get?
The reversal of death.
Yes.
To see death reversed, Jesus says in Revelation, I hold the keys of death in Hades, which means he can unlock that door, open it up, and right, and to be together. Yeah, you've lost loved ones, both of you. I'd love to see my dad again, right? Introduce my father to my kids, whom he never got to meet, right? But there's in the great controversy story, I'm also thinking about how good it feels in stories or in reality, in the world, when we have somebody who is accused of something and then they are vindicated. Mm-hmm. God's character will be vindicated at the end. There's something about that seems like finally this collective breath that everybody's been holding. Is God really kind of the ogre people have made him out to be, or that Satan has made it? No, he's not. No. Okay, so not only does death get reversed and I'm given, you know, the new body that will not die and the tree of life, but I get to live with a God who's good too. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that's what could be better. Mm-hmm. I live with you guys and all the people that I love and care about with a good God who has good things planned. Like, I don't even care what that is at that point.
Mm-hmm. I think of this in several levels. One of them is kind of almost trite, although I grew a big garden this year. And I had a battle with weeds.
Mm.
And I think of the Genesis story where it talks about weeds and Adam having to earn his living by the sweat of his brow.
Yeah.
But this summer we had a battle with squash bugs. And squash bugs they destroy your squash. And no matter what we did, and I think to myself, when I grow my squash in Glory Land, there ain't going to be no squash bugs. Yeah, but I think of it then in much more profound ways, that one of the things I look forward to the most with Jesus coming is what Paul talked about, the will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. One of those changes is going to be the disappearing of this kind of strange fascination we have with sin. You know, in our world, there are always temptations because sin looks attractive, you know.
Yeah,
you have this idea that if you're depriving yourself of something by not doing that, and if you do that, you'll feel liberated. And people who go and indulge those things initially feel liberated.
Your eyes will be open. You'll be like God.
Yeah,
you'll know.
But I've known people who threw, you know, their faith out the window, and it feels liberating. I'm free. I don't have all of these constraints. But what they don't realize is that they've gone into meaninglessness.
Yeah.
I describe it this way. Right now, we seem to be tilted away from God as humans. It's a fight to be connected to God. But that's going to disappear. And another thing I think about is this, what Ellen White called the gulf of separation or the gulf of sin. Mm-hmm. That's been the big obstacle, and it's created a problem for humans and for God. How do you bridge the gap caused by sin? Because God is a holy God. He cannot tolerate sin. He cannot be in the presence of it because he's like a consuming fire. And so how do you bridge this gap? And from our side, you know, we can't crawl up to where God is. And so here we sit, and you mentioned all the funny stories and the misapprehensions we have about God. That will be gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And separation will be gone. Sickness will be gone. Mm-hmm. Death will be gone.
And it says that God will make his tabernacle with us. We won't have to be separated through the sanctuary anymore and the sacrificial system. And can you imagine getting to see Jesus hold out his hands and show you the marks that, yes, my sin caused, and yet he uses those same hands to give me a hug and say, you're my child, you know, you're mine.
Yeah. And so what will happen is that what we believe by faith will be exchanged for reality.
Mm-hmm. And right now, we're still waiting, right? So we're in the waiting moment. But there's times when I get the glimpse of it's going to be real. You know, this summer we went on a trip, my kids and I and some of their friends. We took a cruise to Alaska, and we were planning that trip for over a year. And we knew at some point that event will happen at some point. And then I remember the moment sitting on the deck saying, we've waited so long for this. And look, right now it's happened.
Yeah.
It's here. And just to revel in that moment of expectation and hope bringing resolution. And I know that someday soon, hopefully, we'll be sitting having that same conversation. It happened. We just like we believed, it's happened, but it's bigger and better. It's like Alaska. It's bigger and better than you can dream, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense to you
guys.
It does. You know, you plan, and then it actually occurs.
Yeah.
And the skeptics will be silenced on that day.
And I hope that there are some skeptics also who I was skeptical, but God welcomes them in any ways because they've been looking for that kind of a country. Because can you imagine them looking around going, I had no idea, but I'm okay to be here.
Yeah.
And I'll be okay with them being there too.
Yeah, I love to read in Revelation 21 where John was told to write these things down. After he describes the new heaven and new earth, he says, write these things down because they are true and
faithful. And true.
Yeah. We should say, what about the millennium? That one of the features of the end time is this millennium, this thousand-year period, and there's a lot of opinions about what this will be.
Mm-hmm. I think hints in Scripture, this will be a time of reflection on God's work, what God has done through history. Isn't it the Apostle Paul that says something about you will judge angels? So this idea of, to use sort of old-fashioned language, sort of to explore the records of God's dealings with history and humanity, and any questions that we would have, that would be a time for understanding how God has dealt faithfully and justly, mercifully, all of humanity down through history.
Mm-hmm.
And that's maybe just a tip of the iceberg, but renewal of relationships. I mean, I'm hoping for good food as well. And you're talking about, right? I don't know about squash, Dave. When I think of heaven, that hasn't been top of my list.
You have to come to my house and eat some squash.
But the food, I think, is symbolic. Not just symbolic. I think we will enjoy
it. It's meaningful.
But it's meaningful as it is shared with others
and
as we receive it as one of God's good gifts to us.
And aren't we awaiting a meal with Jesus who promised us, right?
A banquet.
He said, I will not be drinking this cup again of my covenant with you until I drink it anew in the kingdom. And will that table be set during this time. I would like to think so. Yeah. I don't want to wait. But there's questions. Is 1,000 years literal or figurative? Will we care if we're with Christ? Will we care?
Earth years, heaven years.
Right. Day for a year, it's 365,000 years. Yeah. But it also says in Revelation 20, verse 4, that those who had lost their lives, who had been beheaded for their testimony, going all the way back to our very first talk about persecution, they come to life and they reign with Christ. But they reign with this promise that to the one who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. Mm. Can imagine being seated next to Christ, right? Reigning.
I've thought of it this way too, is that there are going to be three groups of people in heaven. You're going to find yourself there, which will be a pleasant and happy realization. There will be people there who you're surprised to see there, who you think shouldn't have been there. And then you'll have people who are not there who you thought should be there. And so I think the millennium is going to help us settle those. You understand how you came to be there in a very real way. You will also be able to satisfy your curiosity as to how that person came in. Yeah. And you'll also be able to assuage your sorrow for the person who you know who didn't get there. And if God is a God of love, of course, he wants to leave the playing field in such a way that sin won't rise again. And I love that phrase, that God is working on this, and because he's a God of love, he's not using coercion, and because worship involves willing compliance, those who are saved will have been willingly compliant, and then they'll understand why evil will be destroyed.
Dave, can I make a point that is going to knot me if I don't, and that is the millennium is a beautiful time with Christ and reigning with him, but that isn't our end.
No.
The book of Revelation's picture is, you know, that song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." I understand that, but this world is my home, and when God remakes it, we come here. Yeah. And eternity is back here on this planet, remade for us. It's the new earth that I look forward to. It's like, I can't wait to go to heaven. Fair enough. To be where Jesus is, that's great. But I want to be in God's new creation, and the Revelation ends with that picture.
Yeah, we should talk about the third coming of Jesus.
Yes, yes, after the millennium.
Jerusalem.
Right. Thank you for letting me say that.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thank you. And thank you for the whole quarter of discussions. We'll leave those now in the care of those who broadcast this and trust that those of you who listen will derive some benefit, which we hope will be the case. Mm-hmm. So thanks again, Paul, Brant, and thanks to Kristen Bailey, our engineer. Thank you for listening in. For the Good Word, I'm Dave Thomas.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.